if the Spirit of the Lord comes up on you, you have been dedicated to God to do something great for Him, and He sends a lion to... See, who's behind this whole thing? God. He has a plan, and we're going to see that nothing we're seeing is an accident. Everything is orchestrated by God. He has a plan. Who made that lion? How do you think that lion happened to be at that place that day? God. He put him there. And how come that lion attacked Samson? God told him to. That's exactly right. God's in control. Now then, you think, well, goodness, Samson, he's okay. He's obeying God. He's doing what God told him to do. So why did God turn a lion loose on him? He's got a plan. You're going to see it just as we go on down through this. Right now, we don't understand this. But we do know that the lion came forth and attacked. And when it did, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. And he turned around. He wasn't even afraid. Would you be afraid if a lion was running at you? Let me tell you. You say, but you know, Thurman, you weigh 175 pounds and you're 6 foot one. You shouldn't be afraid of a lion. Well, let's just say, I hope I can outrun him. That's all I got to say. Otherwise, I may be lion food. Yeah, either that or hope I got a great big gun with me that day. One of the two. Oh, my Lord. But that Samson wasn't afraid at all. When that lion attacked him, he just reached up and grabbed that beast. I mean, as the lion came forward, just grabbed him. I can just see him put his hand in the mouth with the teeth on the top and the bottom, just ripped him apart. And when the Spirit of God comes upon you, what can you do?
Anything.
And nothing impossible with us. Does the church of the living God need the Spirit of God upon us today?
Yes.
Oh, yes. We need the Spirit of the living God upon us. And if we got Him upon us, what's impossible with us? Nothing. That's absolutely right. Nothing. Just like that the Spirit of God moved back here. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord powerfully took control of him. And he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. I mean, just think. I can't even imagine putting my finger in the mouth of that little dog. Because if she were to bite, she could bring blood. You know that? And she's only weighs 5 pounds. She's that long. But I know those little teeth are sharp because she's always playing with me and nibbling at me. And sometimes I get a hold of her a little and she, you know, it hurts a little bit. She's just playing. So what if she really got upset at you? Well, she could tear a chunk out of you, you know it, with them little teeth. But we're not talking about a little 5-pound dog. We're talking about maybe a couple of 100-pound young lion. And this beast is something else. And to think about just reaching up there and sticking your fingers and hands in the mouth and just ripping his jaws apart, just breaking him, just killing him instantly. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have that kind of power? Yeah, it would be. But if the Spirit of God comes upon us, what can we do? Anything. Just like Samson did. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat. Just broke that jaw just as easy. But he didn't tell his father or mother about it. There's a reason for all this. Let's go to the next verse. When Samson arrived in Timnah, he talked with the woman, and he was very pleased with this woman. This woman was made special for Samson. God made this woman for him. You know, God makes a lot of things special for you and me, and we don't even know it. We take things for granted. Instead of thanking him for all the things he gives us, we take them for granted. I mean, just the proverb says, your eyes are a gift from God. You know, when they don't work, all of a sudden you can praise him for your eyes, huh? And then if you get them fixed and they work good again, it's easy to praise him for a while, and then we forget. Is that the way we are? Oh, yeah. How about your hearing? The Lord says, praise me for your hearing, praise me for your eyes. I give them to you as a gift. You should praise me for your hearing and your eyes. And you know, until I read that in the Proverbs one day, I thought, you know, I have never praised him for my hearing or my eyes. I just took them for granted. But now then that I know, he tells me to give him praise and glory. I praise him and thank him for my eyes, my hearing, everything. But Samson was very pleased with this woman. Later, when he returned to Timnah for the wedding, he turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion. And he found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass. A swarm of bees. just a coincidence, I guess. Who do you think sent that swarm of bees to that lion's carcass? See, God's in control of everything. We just don't realize He's running the show. Now let's go to the next verse. He scooped some of the honey into his hands and ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and mother. And they ate it, but he didn't tell them he had taken the honey from the carcass of the lion. Now then, what if your son walked off the path and come back with a couple of double handful of honey and everything and said, "Here, Mom and Dad, y'all like to have some?" And they said, "Sure." And they look at that beautiful gold honey, you know, with the comb in it and everything. And they said, "Where did you get that?" "Oh," he said, "that lion I killed last week that's laying around a rotten. I went around there and the bees had built a nest and so I scooped a handful of honey out of that old dead lion." Jennifer, would you eat that honey?
Not if I knew.
Not if you knew. See, that's the way we are. Not if we know where it comes from. We ain't going to eat it. I mean, most of us are the same way, right? That's just the way we are. Now, as his father was making final arrangements for the marriage, Samson threw a party at Timnah, as was the custom of the day. Now, he was a very elite young man. His dad was very prosperous and successful, and they had plenty of money, so they were putting a big wedding up, and they were going to have a real wedding. So let's go to verse 11 and 12. 30 young men from the town were invited to be his companions. Now, this was his father-in-law and mother-in-law. They invited these fine young men to be his companions. So Samson said to them, "Let me tell you a riddle. If you solve my riddle during the 7 days of the celebration, I will give you 30 plain linen robes and 30 fancy robes." Now, there's just one of him, but there's 30 of them. Now then, if he gives them a riddle and they solve the riddle, it's going to cost him the most. Now then, you know, let's go on and see what the rest of it says there in the next couple of verses. "But if you can't solve it, then you must give me 30 linen robes and 30 fancy robes." All right, they agreed. Let's hear your riddle. So now each one of them is only going to have to give up one fancy and one plain robe, right? So it's not a big deal. But he was going to give them all something. So he said, "From the one who eats came something to eat." This is the riddle. "Out of the strong came something sweet." 3 days later, they were still trying to figure it out. What in the world? What kind of a riddle is this? Well, they can't figure this out. Now that we've got 3 days gone now, and they're approaching the 7 days, and they realize that if they don't come up with the answer in 7 days, they're going to all have to pay him big time. And so they don't want to pay. Let's see what the verse says. "On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife," now this is his wife, "get the answer to the riddle from your husband or we will burn down your father's house with you in it." Doesn't that sound like a nice bunch of lovely guys you'd like to have as your friends? I mean, these people have been ruthless forever. The Muslim people, the Palestinian people, these people have been ruthless even way back in biblical days. You notice they didn't say, "Please, would you go see if you could get your husband to give us the riddle so we don't have to pay this? In fact, if you will and you get the answer, we'll do something nice for you." That's not what they did, was it? They threatened her, "We're going to burn down your house and your father and parents in it and you in it with it if you don't give us the answer." Really nice bunch of guys. I'd like to have a few friends like that, wouldn't you? I don't think so. So Samson's wife came says, "Or we'll burn down your father's house with you in it. Did you invite us to this party just to make us poor?" Now see, isn't it amazing how people look at this? Now, did the wife make them take on this gesture?
No.
Did they do it at their own free will? Why do you think they did it at their own free will? Because they thought they might get a new set of robes. They never dreamed they might have to pay. But now then, after the fourth day, they hadn't figured this out, and they figured it's a little more difficult than they thought, and so now then they don't want to have to pay. So they threaten the wife that they're going to kill her and burn down her father's house and because we don't want to be made poor. So Samson's wife came to him in tears. "You don't love me?" Oh, is that one of the ways a woman does her husband? You don't love me. You don't love me. You don't love me. You hate me. Oh, goodness. Now then, if your wife has been one of these kind, don't say anything. You know, don't judge her. You don't love me. You hate me. You have given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. But he says, I haven't even given the answer to my father or mother, he replied, so why should I give it to you? Does he sound just like a normal man? My wife answered that right quick. Yes, he's a normal man. That's the way us guys are. That's just the way we are. Men have certain ways of doing things, and women have certain ways of doing things, and that's why God told a man under the new covenant, you must live with your wife according to knowledge. You must love her. You must respect her and honor her. But we don't learn very well. We haven't changed much in the last 2,000-3,000 years. So verse 17. So she cried whenever she was with him, and she kept it up for the rest of the celebration. How would you like to just marry a new wife? And every time you see her, she's crying, oh, you don't love me, you hate me. How would you like to hear a nagging woman like that? Even you women, that turns you off, doesn't it? You don't want to hear this. But so she cried whenever she was with him, and she kept it up for the rest of the celebration. At last, on the seventh day, he told her the answer. Because of her persistent nagging. Now, do you think a man likes a nagging woman? No. If you haven't figured that out yet, girls, let me tell you, men don't like a nagging woman. You know, if you got a nagging woman and all she does is nag all the time, you can be assured the man's going to try to make himself as scarce around her as possible. That's just the way life is. You know, but you can change that today. If as a Christian, you have the power of prayer. If you will walk in love, you can change this. But Samson didn't know these privileges, these principles. And so, in fact, it probably wasn't even available to him at that time because God, who was moving on everybody's heart here? God was. He was in control. So before sunset of the seventh day, the men of town came to Samson with their answer. What is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, You Plowed with My Heifer, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.